Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. You haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we are running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. Right now we're up to episode 12 of season 5. This one is called Violations. It was directed by Robert Wymer. Teleplay goes to Pamela Gray and Jerry Taylor. I'm going to get one of these names right one of these times. Story goes to Sherry Goodhart's T. Michael and Pamela Gray. It aired back on February 3rd, 1992. In this episode, a member of an alien delegation traveling on the USS Enterprise molests members of the crew using telepathy. Tana and Sean are here to talk about this one, so right after this break, me and Tana and Sean are going to go deep on Violations.
Jeff?
I'm sorry, I'm being rude.
No, not at all.
My father finds it amusing to demean me in public. I reached the point where I don't want to hear anymore.
It's not easy having an overbearing parent. Believe me, I know how you feel.
Oh, that's right, you're an empath.
Oh, I can't read Julians. But I do know a certain Betazoid mother who is a great deal like your father. Deck 8.
Deck 16.
I've learned to remind myself that my mother and I are two separate individuals.
Mm-hmm. And have you enjoyed much success with this approach, Counselor?
No. But I do keep reminding myself. Good night.
Good night, Counselor, and thank you.
Violations. It's going to start a trend of telepathic rape in Star Trek, which is, I guess, what we have to think about this episode for. But, Tan and Sean, how are you both?
Doing good. No complaints.
Doing good. Yep.
Can't complain. You had to, although... I won't say anything yet about this episode. I was trying to think of a way to get into this one, and
I was wondering what you came up with, actually.
I
wanted to know your intro.
Anyone, being telepathically raped recently would be my lead-in. But, I mean, it's like, I don't know. I can't imagine this episode of this show, of this podcast, going very long about this episode, because I don't really know what there is to talk about with it.
Right.
This is going to be sort of a trend. We're going to be talking about two episodes, and we're stuck in a kind of a shallow period of TNG. I was talking a big game about season 5 before we started, and there are really, really great episodes in season 5. It seems to be a little bit back-heavy of a season. The first half has not been great, and this one is kind of fitting the mold. I find this one to be a very middling episode that is saved by one feature. And I don't know what you guys thought about it. Tell me.
Is it saved by Geordi conversationally going on a date with the ship's computer?
Nope. Although that was a good moment. That wasn't it. I'll say, I think it was saved by the writing of Jev, the villain, is kind of interesting.
Okay.
And he's sort of believable as to... They do a lot of groundwork explaining why he is this way, I think, between his...
Giving him dad issues,
and he's obviously sort of, he has a weird relationship with women. They establish that very believably.
Well, he's the first serial rapist that we've ever had in the universe, in the
true.
Star Trek universe, to my knowledge.
I think so. I don't think we've dealt with this issue before.
Interplanetary.
Intergalactic, rapist. But he's, they don't just make him sort of a raving lunatic. Like, he's clearly deranged and everything, but there's a sort of grounding to his character that makes it feel somewhat believable.
Yeah, it's a hard show. It's super problematic. Go ahead, Sean.
I was going to say, I wish they made him more compelling and less greasy looking. Like, he looks like, at the very beginning, the first scene, you could figure out what he is just by how he looks. Like, he's not smooth. He's not suave. He's not hidden at all. He's
and
just
they
gross.
Have that. They had all that like evil, sinister music. You know, like he would have a lingering look, and we're like, oh, well, this is obviously the villain. So they're using sound to set us up as like, oh, he's not just like looking at, you know, his parents or at Counselor Troy. It's like he's sinisterly looking, and it's super creepy.
They end the cold open with the typical lingering shot on someone who's up to something and is just like smirking to themselves and by themselves at the bar. That's always a sign of a villain. I thought that the story here is really, really simple. It's almost more like they came up with, they wanted to do dream flashbacks and they just had to put a shell of a story around it. Mm. Apparently I was reading, they wrote dream flashbacks for everybody, every single cast member.
Really?
And they only chose to use the three that they did. So
there's Keiko and who else did they use?
Keiko's was, Keiko, I mean, they used Troy, Crusher, and Riker are the three.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Oh, for the comas.
Yeah.
The coma
people. So in the previous episode, Geordi had mentioned about being caught in a fire. That was actually from this episode. They had written that as his storyline, and they used it in another episode.
Huh.
I mean,
what was the point, do you think? Like, they got together and they're like, okay, well, time for us to have a dream rape situation on TNG. What went into this? Do you have any insight, Wes?
No, I don't. I would imagine it came about of just from the way that the story comes out. It seems to me like they wanted to do some kind of flashback thing with like a twisted sort of flashback. And then it seems like they realize that this is kind of a form of like mental invasion that would cause this to happen.
Right.
So we'll make this guy be the villain who will show up. And I think ultimately what the problem is, this is like such a simple episode. I almost wish that I don't understand why they didn't make it something of a mystery as to which of the aliens was doing this.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Because
I feel like.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry,
Sean.
Go ahead.
No, yeah.
I was going to say, I think that the idea of tackling rape is fine, but if they're not going to do it right, then don't do it at all. And
exactly.
I feel like this show failed. I mean, what they were self-censoring, they were trying to handle the rape act in a very careful manner. Like, he's grabbing your shoulder and stuff. And, like, we know that's not what rape looks like.
Yeah. Right, right.
Well, we would imagine. But I just feel like either go big or go home or don't do it at all. And I feel like by hedging their bets, it just didn't work for me at all. And I feel like it's kind of trivializing it.
It that's exactly right. I think it trivializes all of it. And then at the very end, you know, we've got Data and the security officers breaking in and stopping the actual act of violence between, you know, the guy, the evil alien, and Counselor Troy, which in itself is problematic. And I just, at no point, you know, while I'm watching the episode last night, I thought, oh God, how are we going to talk about this? Because I feel uncomfortable watching it. At no point is there really anything that I'm like, okay, I see what they're trying to do. The show is a dated show. It's an old show, but you know, I'm trying to, you know,
right.
I won't examine it too closely, but like maybe I can find something here. And I just don't think it gets really anything quite right, except that they've created a completely creepy serial rapist who gets his comeuppance, I suppose, in the end. Geordi and Data get to be clever and, you know, find out the symptoms of, you know, putting someone into a coma after you mentally assault them, and they trace it back and find out that this guy has a pattern. But it didn't have a sort of Law and Order satisfaction lock up the bad guy thing. And
right.
it also, you yeah. know, and it didn't have the mystery angle that we love so much in Star Trek.
Right.
So,
yeah, I feel like if I was going to redo this episode, and I would try to salvage it, I feel like
I think the idea works on its own face.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Sean.
Well, if you mentally rape somebody, is that just as bad as physically raping somebody? Like, that would be an interesting thing for them to talk about.
Right.
Yep.
And then if they made this more of a trial, like, how do we try this guy? What kind of evidence is there for mental rape? I mean, it's, I think that's, you know, then you could have Geordi and Data doing their thing, and you wouldn't have to show as much of it, or you would show it once, you know. I don't know. I feel like there's a great idea here, but they just totally...
The idea of, mentally taking over and that sort of violation is could be a very compelling idea. And I think something that could be explored in an interesting way. Wes, your instincts on it were really great. Have it so you don't know who is doing it. You know, don't set us up with a villain. Set us up with a mystery. Is it a microbe? Is it something that these guys brought on board with them, which is, you know, the first half of the episode, they're searching for particles. And there were a couple of really, actually, now that I think about it, fun Star Trek moments, like when Worf says, Klingons do not allow themselves.
Technical difficulties, but we're back. And I caught that one, actually, this time. So Tana was talking about how, Klingons don't allow themselves to be probed. Sean, you were talking about how it's a... you could set the episode up as an argument about what's going on here, because I could see a species. I was thinking as I was watching it, all the telepaths we run into are generally kind of benign. Like the Betazoids are an example. The Vulcans are the other famous telepaths. You'd never seen a weaponized telepath race.
Yeah.
Which seems like it would make sense. And I can understand all of them being that way. And you could craft the episode around the fact of, it's not really a prime directive thing, but it's this Federation idea that who are we to judge what people do, basically, is like the sort of flawed ethos of the Star Trek universe, at least at this point in the series.
Right.
And I think you could have built off of that. But as we're saying, the show doesn't make any attempt to turn this into either a mystery or an ethical thing. And I think that the show can't do the ethics because the tone of TNG doesn't allow it to happen. They're not going to be able to get into this. Like you were saying, Sean, go big or go home. They can't really do that here. I think they made a mistake by the ending scene where the guy calls it rape was totally unnecessary. Like, I don't think it makes it more awkward when they just bring out in front of us what's obviously going on, as opposed to just letting us learn it. And it makes it a little bit weirder or a little bit more awkward at that point.
I have to say this was if not my least favorite. Like, this is not an episode I would ever watch again. Like, it was uncomfortable to watch all the way through. And there were lighthearted moments. You know, the one I was mentioning at the very beginning with Geordi, he sits down and he's like talking with the computer, but he has this conversational tone where he's like, well, let's scan for the Nylazine. And, you know, a routine scan will scan for something. He's like, well, this isn't a routine scan, so scan for the Nylazine. No traces of Nylazine. How did I know you were going to say that? Like,
I love it when they work with the computer.
They don't say that to a computer. And it's so perfectly Geordi. And then he's telling Data or somebody about it later. And he's like, well, I just had a cozy little chat with the computer. You're supposed to be trying to get to the bottom of this mystery. And instead, he's like leaning seductively, or like he's got a sort of like, well, what about this computer?
It's a staple of Star Trek to have them getting upset with the computer when they're not giving it the information that it needs.
Yeah, when you're saying things like you're in full sentences, instead of scan for this, you know, measure that, do this, instead of speaking in commands and in an analytic way, they're like, well, computer, let's see what we can see about, you know, all these microbes.
Well, me and Clay were talking about which is more powerful, actually, the Data or the computer. But that's another podcast. I did want to... Both of you are saying that this is a misuse of the issue.
Yeah.
I disagree. Yeah. And I don't know if you're saying this out of, like, what's wrong with how they handle this outside of there's kind of a media thing. There's like a knee jerk reaction that nobody ever gets rape. Right. Like, it's just, everyone's always unhappy with rape used in a storyline. Like, Game of Thrones always gets thing like criticism about, like, why do they use rape here? I've never seen anyone write a piece that says this was an appropriate use of rape in the story, which there has to be that case. Like, I don't find the story here to be that odd because it fits into TNG's mold, and it's not like they're making excuses for this guy.
Right. But so I think Tana should answer this first in long form, but I was just going to say one thing. But I think that she made a great point when she mentioned Law and Order, sure, because that's a contemporary show that addresses rape, and I think that does handle rape as well as you can expect on TV.
And yeah, with sci-fi, nuanced. Does it's not rape, always the same. You know, there's all SVU, and there's 1,000 different variables, so they're coming at it again and again and again every week, and right, sort of rehashing this. There's no way we're going to be able to do any justice to it.
Right. But when my question is, does, yeah, my question is, what's getting it right? How do you get it right?
Well, one of the ways in which I think they get it wrong, one of the glaring things that I think that they miss an opportunity on is making Counselor Troy completely and utterly powerless. She can't fight back, even though she's Beta Zed. There should be, to my mind, some way for her to attack her attacker, to invade his mind, to get to the truth of who is actually hurting her. And instead, she's passive the entire time, and that's deeply problematic for me. Also, at the end, the resolution, such as it is her in the process of physically being assaulted, no longer just mentally being assaulted, but physically being assaulted by this guy. And the thing that saves her isn't her ability to fight him or to fight him off or to advocate for herself or to protect herself or any of those things. It's that the other men on the ship, the Data and Geordi, figured it out, and Worf shows up and like slaps this guy in the face and knocks him out, and like she gets saved by the heroes in the end. And I think that that's a really dangerous thing. Yeah. I think if they only changed that one thing, if they kept the story like it was, but Deanna Troi had agency, she had the ability to use her half Beta Zed mind abilities to, you know, go to find out something through him, like fight him in the astral plane or something, or advocate for herself that way, it would have made a big difference. Instead, right, I'm forced to watch her be attacked and be powerless throughout the entire show, all the way to the end. And also true of like Beverly and the other people that get attacked, but mostly with Deanna Troi. I mean, that's our main focus.
I was thinking, is this even a Troi episode? I think she just has the most stuff happen to her, and it's not particularly a Troi episode, which is kind of weird to say. But
yeah,
it should be.
I think you're right, Tanner, about that.
She carries it. And I think because she's the only non-human that's attacked, and she's a telepath, I would want for that character to have some way of fighting back that is superhuman, or, you know, that she's closer to these guys, right? Like, they're a different style of empath or whatever they are, but, you know, she should be able to do something about it. And at no point is she able to do anything about what's being forced on her, what's happening to her. And right, she's completely at the mercy of others and is waiting, you know, and is ultimately saved by others. And I think that that's a real missed opportunity for TNG to really, she would have come out of it being a much stronger character. I think they always swing and miss with Deanna.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I would love the idea of her investigating the mm-hmm. particles with Data. Like, what if he was the one that was her advocate, but he even had a hard time understanding, like, well, you know, yep, it didn't really happen to you. It's just in your head. And she explains to him, that's yep, just as bad. She gets yep, really passionate. And like, even Data could learn a lesson while they investigate right, together. Like, there's so right, many yeah, different yeah, ways to do this that would have, I think, paid off a lot better. And like, yeah, like Tana said, at the end, like, I was glad that Troi did get a few kicks in, but yep, I would have, I mean, for Worf to come in and just slap the guy down, like, see how easy it is for a man.
How funny was like, his God, slap? Damn. Like,
it was a pathetic. I at least needed him to like tackle the guy or something. Yep. Like, I didn't need him just to punch the guy in the face, but I actually thought yeah, that the Troi fight back was probably the best fight scene the show has ever done. just her, like, the couple of blows that she lands against the guy are actually like pretty hard hitting, as opposed to the yeah, usual stupid stuff that goes on, like, which is right, basically the Worf punch. Right. I think of, yeah, I'm of two
What do you think about her using her own telepathy, her own empathic ability to fight back, or to have to be able to maybe suss out who is really doing this? Like, maybe something doesn't feel right to her about the explanation when he tries to pin it on his dad, and she, like, something about it is wrong, and she recognizes that. Even something like that would have gone a long way for me. But instead, she swallows the truth whole, or the lie that they give her, and invite her attacker into her room. And, you know, it's just there. She should know. It seems to me that she could have been treated in a more, that character could have been more, not heroic, but like a stronger character. Like, she could have, you know, fought back.
I totally agree with what you're saying, that we were making the joke. I'm going to take the joke credit for here, but the Skype is being violating of our podcast today. So I apologize for all these abrupt edits, but we're going to try to get back to what we were talking about. I was just going to say that the problem here is that I agree with you guys about the Troy's lack of agency is really probably a driving problem with this episode. Yeah. I disagree that her, because she's not really a telepath, so I don't know how she can fight back particularly well. They can kind of, that's kind of a stupid nerdy character beat thing. But I do think that she should have been the main detective here, just as she is the only one on the crew who can really relate to what this race is all about.
Right.
And it's also a little bit unclear. The telepathic abilities of the aliens is kind of not fleshed out well either, because it seems like their race isn't telepathic naturally. It seems the guy has a line like they have to learn how to do it.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's not like they're a OP telepath race that are coming in and just fucking shit up. So it's kind of weird that they have such abilities as they do, which is another whole problem. I think that, just to wrap up what I'm thinking, I'm torn between this TNG show has a kind of tone that it has to stick to, and I think that tone is much better if Troy wins out in the end. That's a flaw of the show's structure more than anything. It's not a flaw that she needs to win. That's like kind of, that's how this show chooses to tell its stories, or it should choose to tell its stories.
Yep.
It's kind of a very happy, sort of bland, unemotional type thing. No actions really have any repercussions that matter, type stuff, which is maybe why this topic is problematic for it.
Right.
At the same time, I think the show gets the topic of rape correct to how it interprets topics. But the Troy thing is less that they got the rape topic wrong, and more that they fucked up how they were supposed to tell the story about it. Does that make sense?
That it should have been a more of a TNG style mystery, and not a villain doing a bad thing getting reprimanded.
Yes, basically, yeah. It would have been more satisfying to me if that had happened.
Yeah. I have a question for you guys.
Shoot.
Do you think that when rape happens in sci-fi or fantasy, it's harder to handle than it is in like a contemporary genre? Like, for example, in Game of Thrones, so rape in Law and Order is horrible, but at least it's supposed to be the real world, and you don't have to look at laser guns and swords and stuff while this stuff's happening.
It's not a symbol for anything.
Yeah, it's tricky to handle these topics with sci-fi and fantasy, I feel. And I'm just saying that because one of you mentioned Game of Thrones and how it handles rape, and it's something to consider. What do you guys think?
I think it's all in how you handle it. I don't think it's genre specific. I don't think that, you know, necessarily a Law and Order show is better or worse than a Next Generation show in its handling of rape, or a Game of Thrones show in its handling of rape. I think it comes down to the choices that the creative team makes and how well it's written, honestly.
Well, I think it's interesting. It's different from murder, right? Because murder narratively is all about it's mostly about the mystery of the murder, where rape is really sort of about the outcome as opposed to the narrative that you can build around solving the murder. You know, like solving a rape is not really a story, if that makes sense. You know, like you can't really, there's nothing you can build around it in terms of, like, the answer is sort of clear in rape, you know what I mean? Where, as opposed to murder, you can set up a story. It's like, oh, I found a dead body. Like, how did this happen? They try to do that here by having the comatose thing, which is stupid, that no one just remembers what actually happened to them. So they kind of add a murder storyline on top of a rape story, which is, in my opinion, Game of Thrones does rape better because the outcomes are more important than the act is, if that makes sense.
I don't really watch the Game of Thrones show, but I do read the books. And I think, you know, some of the blowback from what I understand, you know, two characters have a scene where one rapes the other. And in the book, it happens in the book. And so people were saying, you know, oh, but this happens. This is, you know, from the source material. You can't get mad at us. And really, in the source material, you get a look inside each character's head and you know what led up to that. And the circumstances were vastly different in the book than they were in the show. And I think, you know, we are walking on rotten ice right now, guys. This is a fraught topic, my friends.
I disagree. I don't really like I think people have a knee-jerk scaredness to it, which makes like it makes sense, but it's not. No one here is pro-rape, you know, so I don't understand if anyone has any kind of problem with things that we're saying. It's like, I don't know. I kind of disagree. I mean, the Game of Thrones thing, it's a weird argument to me because it gives George R.R. Martin some kind of weird power thing where he's getting it right, you know, as opposed to the show, which is strange to me. I don't understand why the author, if the author writes it a certain way, that's more acceptable or less acceptable to do in a TV show that way.
There's also a lot of like 13 and 12 and 13 year old girls are getting married off and, you know, in the actual book. So it's not just rape. He's doing that thing where it's really questionable across the board, but it's based in historical practices and precedents.
Not even historical, really. You know, at this point, there are certain segments that still
you're saying
this.
It's still happening.
Yeah, it still happens. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And so there's a lot of things that are, I think, touchy or complicated, and that he addresses. You know, and I think I don't know.
No, I guess I'm. Yeah, I guess it always comes down to me as to. Especially in terms of this TNG thing, like the hardest I can damn this episode is that it's kind of boring. I don't think it
doesn't read as super creepy to you. You don't find it hard to watch because it's so creepy.
Well,
I find it repulsive. Bad episode does nothing. It gets it wrong and it goes in that direction more than I want it to.
Yeah,
it's hard. I want to give it like a negative one.
I need you guys to clarify. Besides the Troy thing, like, is there any other thing that you see as?
I think it's all of it, Wes. Like, there's a lot of things about.
What was that was the weirdest noise ever.
Was it?
It sounded like someone hit like an empty keg of beer or something. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah,
your microphone's picking up everything, Tana.
Wow.
Did I
tap the empty beer keg in my office right now?
It sounded like you kicked it with your steel-toed shoe or something.
Wow.
It was quite impressive. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. What were you saying?
I have no idea what I was saying.
I know. Well, of course, they're steel-toed shoes. Why did you say it that way, Wes? Why can't they just be regular shoes?
Because it sounded like steel.
See, sort of thing, this kind of conversation that's so dismissive, right? Like, rape is very serious, and there's no way for us to unpack it. And the tacit approval or, like, there's a tacit approval about rape built into the foundation of this TNG episode that's so big and encompasses so many other things than TNG that there's no possible way the three of us are going to be able to parse that in this.
Well, how does the show approve it? I want to be very clear about what I'm arguing here. The show in no way is approving rape.
Right.
Right.
So I don't think it's not true to say that there's a tacit approval of rape in this. Like, the show is going out of its way, not out of its way. It's clear.
No, the treatment of the serial intergalactic rapist who has done this on many other worlds and gotten away with it is cast in an almost sympathetic light because he had struggles with his father and because Deanna Troi was so kind to him that somehow makes it okay or makes his
this evil character sympathetic to the viewer. It's being presented to us in a way that isn't deplorable or like stomach turning. I think it was turning my stomach, but not for the reasons that the show was giving me, because they cast this guy as a villain, less of a villain and more of like, I don't know, like a sad son or a right. misunderstood, but you know, right. like why his finishing line is, why did you have to be so kind? He right. shouldn't be able to have a finishing line that shames Deanna Troi. And he's been doing this with impunity across the galaxy, across many other planets. And all yeah. he gets is carted away, you know, with the Enterprise team. Like, this is it. It's a tacit approval, because that reaction is so pale compared to what those acts deserve to be treated right. with.
Yeah, I needed more severity in the reaction of.
Yeah,
I wanted Worf to want to murder him, or I wanted Deanna yeah. to want to murder yeah. him. I need, yeah. and instead, like, they play him as kind of yeah. a handicapped, mentally handicapped, slightly autistic type of character who doesn't know that he's doing is wrong, and it makes it less severe.
And, in our world right now, we have a lot of these kinds of behaviors that are being justified by guys like, if you don't love me, or if I don't get the girl that I want, then I'm entitled to do to her whatever I want, or I'm entitled to stalk her, harass her, harangue her, get out of the friend zone. Like, there's so many deeply rooted things in our society today that are super fucked up. So that's what I'm trying to address when I say that the show is sort of tacitly approving this mm-hmm. behavior. He's punished, but nowhere near with the severity that he should be. And at the end, you know, Deanna Troi like feels empathy, or like, you know, he gets in a final one-liner for her, and it's just stomach-turningly mishandled, I thought.
Yeah. How would you define tacit approval versus regular approval, Tana? I agree with what you're saying. I just want to be clear.
Just that it's passive, that it's
right.
That the way that they treat this guy, like, with humanity and dignity, and that, you know, they cast him in this sympathetic light. I think all of those things are working. They're not saying, the show is not claiming that what he's doing is okay, right? But
right.
the way that they treat him, the right. like the kind way that they treat him, and the lack of repercussions are tacit, to my mind, are tacitly
right.
approving, or, you know, like when you don't speak out against it, what is it?
Yeah.
Silence is consent. Like, there's, you know, you're not doing violence to someone, but if you don't speak up about violence being done to other people, then mm-hmm. you are part of the problem. It's that
right.
idea that by Yeah.
I totally understand. I think maybe the misunderstanding was when Wes says this show is not condoning rape. Of course not, but that's right. different. The show isn't approving of rape. It's tacitly approving. And there's a difference
yes.
when you use that word, because yeah. by being passive, in a way, it's giving it a pass. Or yeah. by not being severe in its repercussions, it trivializes the rape.
Yeah. And yeah, just sort of, and it's one thing after another in the show, you know, allowing this guy free reign, you know, when they decide it's the dad and the son is sort of let off scot-free, he makes his way to Counselor Troi's room. Like, he gets full run of the ship. There are things that happen in the show that are stomach turning.
He's not guilty at that point. You know what I mean? Like, they.
Right. So they're saying that you can do this sort of thing with impunity.
It's not until he takes
it a step too far that anything at all happens.
Do you think narratives are obligated to be morally correct?
Absolutely not. No, absolutely not. But I want them to do it right. If you're going to talk about this, then I want to have a more satisfying outcome. It's what I was saying earlier with, like, having Deanna have some sort of agency, whatever that form would be, to, you know, have stronger repercussions for this guy, to have the mom and dad maybe less two-dimensional, you know, mm-hmm. you know, make the relationship between the dad and the son more complicated. But these are things that I don't think TNG is ever going to be able to do, or wasn't able to do in the time span that it had. But
right.
I think it could have made a few choices differently that would have made the episode a bit better, a bit different.
Yeah.
Right. I think that the narrative does, it's for Star Trek, the narrative does have to be morally correct in the end, because Star Trek is a moral show. It cloaks itself in morality. And at the end of most episodes, justice is served, the bad guys are caught, you know, Data learns a lesson, whatever it is. Like, it's morally based. So for it to be like, all right, another episode, well done, everyone on the ship back to work, it's like, no, you all failed. You've got partially of the way there, but you all need to reassess how you just handle this whole thing, because you're a moral show. You hold yourself to moral standards, and you did not fall through.
Well, yeah. Okay. I mean,
but in Game of Thrones, it's not a moral show. So to speak to what you were talking about, like, I don't think narratives always have to be morally correct. I just think that Star Trek kind of designed itself that way.
Yes. I think I totally agree. I mean, in my eyes, this episode ends as Star Trek.
You know what it is, Wes? I think it waters down the severity of rape. I think the biggest glaring error that the show makes by even approaching the topic is that the overall treatment of this whole scenario, of this whole episode, leaves it very watered down. You know, the violent scenes are just sort of like wrestling, and, you know, or he's like holding Deanna down on the ground. You have the spilling of the coins. This stuff, like, they can't do that stuff, I think, in a way on that show that doesn't dismiss or downplay the severity of sexual violence.
Well, I think that's a, sorry to interrupt, but I feel that this episode is being sort of picked on. Not that this is an incorrect criticism, but it's more like, the show just can't handle repercussions. It's just the nature of it. Like, Picard has killed 11,000 people. You know, his direct actions caused that. Mm-hmm. And we just, you know, the next episode is everyone's like, well, fuck it. You know, like, we got to get up and get on. You know, I understand the criticism.
Yeah.
It's a problem to me just because the show isn't designed to handle it. And I think that the show's inability to have a foundation that allows for continued deeper discussions is a problem with it, but I don't think they fuck up this topic as badly as I think they fuck up the topic we're going to talk about in the Masterpiece Society, which is interesting to me. Like, I understand that, like, they're not downplaying rape or sexual violence or anything. They do a terrible job with the narrative itself, just because Troy gets put in the back seat. That was a bad phrase, but because Troy gets put, Troy gets knocked out of the spotlight that she should be in for it. And it's kind of disappointing at that point. But I mean, it's just such a, the show just doesn't do anything for me. Yeah. And I'm not arguing that this is even a good episode of TNG, because I don't think it is. I don't think it's bad. It's kind of just there. It's kind of just a dull thing. But we've done 40 minutes on this. I don't want to take up a guy's whole afternoon. So
I knew, you know, when you said, oh, we'll be done with this one soon, I'm like, nope. I knew this was going to happen.
I should go in and edit myself. I should always hedge that by saying, this, you either talk for 5 minutes or you talk for an hour about it. But anyway, thank you guys.
Well, I've actually talked to Tana a lot about this stuff, and I know her feelings about this. So I kind of knew where she would be headed. And it was hard for me to understand her point of view on a lot of rape culture when I first met her. And I've come around a lot to sort of seeing more eye to eye with her. Like, I probably don't agree with her on everything, but everything she said, I totally agree with.
A lot of people. I'm not the spokesperson for, you know, what's acceptable and what isn't in the world. But I think that this is a very serious thing. And I think, so for, to jump to the, to the part where we edit, or not edit, where we review it, you know, when we give it the score, I'm going to go with a -1. I wish that this episode had never been made. I would rather it doesn't exist.
You jumped the shark. We're gonna come, not jump the shark. I don't know what phrase I'm trying to say. We're going to come back in a couple seconds after I play this audio clip. Me, Tan, and Sean are going to give our final thoughts about Violations.
Hello, Jeff.
We'll be reaching Starbase soon. I wanted to say goodbye and to apologize again for my father.
There's no need. You're not responsible for what he did.
Before all this happened, I had hoped we might become friends.
We still can.
After what he's put you through? Maybe you can forget. I'm not sure I can. You were so lovely. I have to go. Goodbye.
Jeff, you're upset. Would you like to talk?
No.
You'd feel better if you did.
Why do you have to be so nice? So, so lovely.
Hey, gang, good lively discussion. And Skype continues to record, so maybe it's past its phase of that, too. But, Tana, lead us off with your score. You hinted at what you were going to
give us. I'm going to go with a -1 and say that I wish this episode didn't exist. Not only would I never watch it again, I was very uncomfortable while I watched the whole thing, but I think that their treatment of it, though not overtly, rage worthy, it adds to the normalization of rape and rape culture that I find very pervasive in our society. And I think that if things like this that sort of water down the sexual violence and the repercussions of this kind of act, of the acts of serial rapists, I wish it didn't exist. You know, I'll never watch it again, and I wish that they hadn't made it.
Sean?
I'm going to go 1 or 0, whatever the lowest is. I think this episode proves that Star Trek cannot go everywhere. If it's not willing to go big or go home, it shouldn't do it at all. And by halfwaying it, it does a disservice to the topic, which is obviously very important to a lot of people, maybe more so now than ever. And you hope that sci-fi will try this again and be better and better at it as time goes on. I mean, it's interesting to, if you keep it as a reference for what not to do, then there's some validity there. But I don't know. I mean, I was uncomfortable when I was watching with my wife, because I'm like, oh man, I don't even want to know what she's about to say for the next scene, because I can already hear it coming. And she's right.
Yeah.
And I think she would probably agree with Tana on a lot of these things too.
I'm going to give it a 5. No, it's a this is the finest example of rape media that we've ever had. I'm going to give it a 3. It's like a super weak 3 to me. It's a story that's hanging together by threads, and it seems like it's built around an idea that the flashback sequences aren't even all that interesting to me. They're shot in a maybe Clay would know this, but maybe you guys would actually know. The shot in some kind of, it reminds me of some kind of horror thing.
Right.
It's sort of
they are.
It's like a slow frame rate or something's going on that's very weird. The one I enjoyed the most was seeing Patrick Stewart in a hairpiece.
We didn't even get to that.
There's nothing to talk about, but no. I wish there was a story that used that better. I disagree about the villain assessment, just because I think that for how little time they had, they actually drew a pretty nuanced villain here, who's not evil just for the sake of being evil, but is, you know, criminals come from places. And the show does a very good job of explaining how this guy has become such a damaged psyche, not to justify what he does, but it explains in only a couple lines of dialogue where he's coming from, when a lot of TNG episodes are, this is just a bad dude, he's going to do some bad things. So I think there's a little bit of nuance there. Other than that, it's really just not, it's a kind of a clunker of an episode.
So to give it credit for it does a good job building this guy, that's like saying, great job building that car that doesn't perform well on a shitty track with a bunch of bad drivers. I mean, it's hard to give it any credit at all if it doesn't even make it to the race, you know? I don't know. I mean, I think we're splitting hairs at a certain point here, though.
Yeah, but I mean, it would be like if you got a shitty car, and then in a couple lines of dialogue, you explain the entire backstory to me about why this car is now shitty. You know?
Oh, okay, scripting-wise, I guess I can see your point. Yeah.
But they don't really do that, Wes. This is part of the tacit approval. So not everybody that has an overbearing dad is going to become a mental rapist, a serial rapist, because dad was always hard on you and makes fun of you in front of strangers. like a lot of people, that's their reality, and they don't become serial rapists that invade the mental and physical space of other people, doing them harm.
Right.
And I think by casting him in that light, exactly what you're saying, that it's okay and understandable that he went this route and turned to sexual violence and mental violence against people that were kind to him or whatever, or just like, I think that that's really the secret danger here, is that it normalizes that kind of thinking that oh, because his dad was mean to him in front of strangers, he gets to grow up and do this other stuff, and that's kind of okay.
No. No one's saying that he's allowed to do it. I'm saying that his behavior is coming from a believable place. Everyone who gets molested as a child does not turn into a child molester. There is a correlation between the two. You know what I mean?
See, this is what I'm saying. Like, we can't, there's no way for us to have this conversation in a small scale. And I think this is why, for me, I wish the episode didn't exist. I don't think it has a place in the Star Trek universe. And I think it could have a place. I think if they made different choices with the way they handled Deanna and the way the crew, like the resolution and the other characters interacted with our villain once, you know, he gets found out, like, if you're gonna do it, like Sean said, do it right. Do it, go big. And I think that there's room for it in this universe, but not in this way.
Thank you very much.
Damn it, Sean.
I was going to go with such a dramatic exit. No, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Well, I was going to say, Deanna goes through this again in the movie Star Trek Nemesis.
On a lower scale, I think, in kind of a pointlessly lower way,
right, if that makes sense. The topic happens again, so maybe we can't quite agree on all the points right now. Why don't we shelve it, and then we'll think about what we've all been saying, and then we'll do a review of the movie later on.
We'll all watch Nemesis and then reevaluate.
I can learn some lessons.
I'd
be down with that. So in 2 years, when I get to Nemesis, everyone will look forward to see how our views have changed. We're going to post this on the Reddit Change My View and see what happens. Guys, thank you very much. I appreciate you coming on and sharing your opinions about this episode.
Thanks for having us, Wes.
Absolutely. We're going to be back in a couple days with the Masterpiece Society, which might be an inverse of what we just did here, where I'm going to rage against the Masterpiece Society. Thank you guys for listening. If you're on YouTube, like and comment. Appreciate it. If you're on iTunes, rating and review helps get the show out there. I don't have any new reviews. I can't read those. So listen to the past episode where I read a couple with Clay. Sean and Tana and me are going to be back. See ya.